reason we do worship, it's not us up here leading and you all just sitting there just watching and observing, and it's not like a movie. The reason we worship is it's active. You are actively engaged with us, whether it means you all are singing while the band is singing along, whether you are giving, that is an active form of worship. And what we're going to do now is a community prayer where we all pray together out loud. I know it's sometimes uncomfortable, but worship is meant to be active. It's not just you sitting there and enjoying an awesome band and an awesome sermon and then leaving and coming back next week and doing the same thing. It's not about that. All of us are worshiping together. So we're going to pray this community prayer together, and I want everybody to pray this out loud with me. So let's pray. Breathe into me, Holy Spirit, that all my thoughts may be holy. Move in me, Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Attract my heart, Holy Spirit, that I may love only what is holy. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit, that I may defend all that is holy. Protect me, Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. How is everyone? Good. Okay, so before I start, I love worship. How many of y'all love worship? Woo! Woo! I heard one. Woo. Okay, now, wait just 1 minute. This is Connections, so in Connections, we can kind of loosen up just a little bit. So I'm going to say that again. How many of you all love worship? Okay, wait a minute. Please don't record yet. So I'm African American, if you didn't know that. And so in African American culture, and I'm in Connection, so don't y'all dare go back and say that I can get wild to over there. So all they have seen is Jawanda. How are you? God bless you. We're in Connections. So in Connections, this is where we can let it go. Look at him. So it's his baby laughing too. Like, so how many of you love worship? Now, wait. And I want you to express it in a way that is so uncomfortable. And I know that your connection pastor is Will, so I know you do stuff all the time that makes you uncomfortable. So I want you to express it in a way that makes you just a little bit uncomfortable. And so what does that mean? That means that if you are accustomed to sitting and saying, hallelujah, you cannot say that. If you've never, look at that baby, he's laughing at me. If you've never lifted your hands when I say it, here's your opportunity. If you are like me and you hate to exercise and you know you need to because you have a couple of rows other places that don't need to be there, here is your opportunity to jump. And if you are just so frustrated with something or somebody, hopefully they're not sin with you, here's your opportunity for you to say, yeah! Let it all out, okay? Are y'all with me? Please don't treat me like I'm in traditional. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. So, how many of you love worship? Woo! Amen. Did that feel good?
Yes.
Yes. Woohoo! Thank you, all of you who tried something out of your comfort zone. And I better not hear it. I'm telling you. Because they've never seen me speak over, what is that, decimeter? So anyway, decibel. So today we are talking about transforming the world. But first, before we transform the world, we have to transform ourselves. And how do we do that? Love. Love is the answer. And so my text is Deuteronomy. I always have a problem with that word, and I don't know why on the day that I'm preaching I would use that word. But Deuteronomy, however you need to make it happen, let it happen. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, and that's what we are talking about today. So I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to talk about it. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we enter into this time of hearing from you, speak to our hearts. Show us what it is that you would have us to know. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I read that, and it had a lot of the masculine points in it, and that was simply because I read it from a different version. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And as I read that, I wanted to take you there to that particular version, but I'm going to explain it in a way. So if any of you heard that and it kind of put you off because it was all he, him, him, and all of that, it's also too for us ladies. So a little bit of history with this text is found in the previous chapter, where God has given the Ten Commandments to Moses when he was on Mount Sinai. We find the full account of this whole thing that we're talking about in Exodus 19, 16, 20 through 21. And I would encourage you at some point to go back and to read that. Moses stands in front of the group and he's pretty much modifying what he has heard from God on the sermon, when he was receiving the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. Moses is there with the Israelites, and they have been wandering for 40 years, and now they're on the threshold of crossing into this promised land. And before they get to the promised land, he takes care and he takes the time to stop and to explain to them what he received from God, from when he was with God and God gave these commandments and these laws and these instructions. And so he pretty much kind of modifies that a little bit, and he stops and he says to them, basically, it's a commitment to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And God has laid this out so eloquently that I'm thinking these Israelites had a propensity to not follow instructions, because Moses takes this time to stop and to reiterate and to explain it, and to explain it in a way that he's saying, hey, everybody, before you cross over into this great promised land that was promised to your ancestors, this is a brand new generation. For 40 years, this other group, they just wandered and wandered. But here, this new generation, they are there and they are able to cross over. He's stopping. I want y'all to get that. He is stopping and he's saying, hold up, wait a minute. Yes, you're going into the promised land, but take care that you love God so that it will be well with you. Our founding father of Methodism, John Wesley, describes the entire sanctification as a heart filled with love for God and love for neighbor. This love is always rooted in the conviction that God first loved us. Somebody say, God first loved me. God first loved me. These Israelites are crossing over into the promised land as a fulfillment of the promise of God's love to this whole tribe of people. It's like it's a sign of grace, God's grace. They didn't deserve it. They didn't qualify for it. They didn't earn it. God's love is taking them into this new land, and this land is flowing with milk and honey. It's a new lifestyle, so to speak. It's almost as if they're going from rags to riches. A life they will now experience that is so different than what they experienced meandering through the wilderness for so long. The grace of God is evident in their lives, and they are being just loved by God. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you really, really comprehend and know how much God loves you? I want you to sit with that just a minute. Do you know how precious you are to God? Do you know how special you are to God? Do you know that you are the apple of God's eye? And it is nothing that you could do or has ever done that could separate you from the love of God. God loves us. One of my favorite hymns is Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And I learned it as a child. How many of you learned that as a child? How many of you practice singing that now? It's interesting that many people do not practice singing that song. Why? Because we learned it as a child. And the elementary fundamentals of Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells us, once we did look at that, it's like we learned that in Sunday school. By the way, I wasn't going to sing that. It's only for Susan. She said, sing a tag or something. I did it. God loves us so intimately, so passionately, so unconditionally that we have to get that in our psyche, that God loves us in our core. If we go back into the text and we relive this with the Israelites just for a moment, I'm going to try to paint this picture. Can you see this brand new generation? They're on the threshold and they're all excited and they're walking around. They're like, oh, we're going to the land flowing with milk and honey. Ooh! I mean, they're all excited. They're with this thing and they're ready. And then here's the big person, Moses. He comes in, he says, stop. He halts it. All their excitement. He said, I need to give you some rules. We're going to go back to the book of discipline, to the catechism, to the law, to the script. And they're like, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Wait. Wait. Moses stands before them and he's calling them together. And he says, oh, chosen generation of people, God has highly, highly, highly favored you. But you have a responsibility to love God too. You have a responsibility to love God before you get to this promised land. Well, so we're going to keep moving. If this goes, we're okay. And if it doesn't, we're still okay. Can't you feel this excitement? And Moses stands up and he halts it. Your responsibility is to love God as well. And I want you to look at it from the text just a little bit. You know, this just what happened, but you know, it's okay. Oh my gosh! So we go back, y'all missed the other picture, but that's okay, I'm not even going to bother it. So I want you to look at this. And it says, keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away. When you lie down and when you rise, bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. Woo! That's a lot of work. Think about it. That is a lot of work. How many of you are that obedient to the scripture? Don't raise your hand. But this is what Moses is saying to them. Now, remind you, he has just come from being with God. God gives these instructions, and he's standing before them, and he's telling them, this is what you do when you go into the land, the promised land. Their simple response to show their love to God was obedience. Obedience. How many of you tell your children, just obey? Or you have said that to your child, obey. That is a question. How many of them are obedient? Sometimes. Good days, bad days. Kind of want you to relate to that just a little bit. What's interesting to note here is that in chapter 5, the Israelites were so blown away by hearing the voice of God that they were at a point where they said, we will do whatever God is requiring us to do. We'll do whatever God is requiring us to do. And now they get here, and Moses outlines all of this. And they are probably a little scared to go into this promised land now. But they still want to get here. The point is, when we obey God, we show God just how much we also love God. When we obey, we represent to God our love. We show God how much we love God. And it's hard sometimes to obey. How many of you would agree? It's hard sometimes to do the right thing. It is hard sometimes. And most times, a lot of times, we miss the mark. The point that I want to communicate is that God has given us a free will. And in this free will, we can choose to respond to God. And how we respond to God is reflected by how we love God. This includes our ethical behaviors. This includes everything about how we conduct our lives. I want you to look at this for a minute. God gives these instructions to Moses. Moses gives them to the people. Fast forward to where we are right now as Methodists. The means of grace. The works of piety. Do y'all see that? Prayer. Public worship. The Lord's Supper. Reading and studying scripture. Christian conference, fasting, or abstinence. These are ways that we can show our devotion, our complete obedience and devotion unto God. And then if we look here, the works of mercy, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, visiting the prisoners, sheltering the homeless, welcoming the stranger, and all and on and on. These are ways that we can show our devotion and show our love. And these things help to transform our lives personally, ordering our private world so that we can go out and transform the world. I'm going to meddle with you a little bit. I'm going to be like Moses. How many of you want to experience that promised land? How many of you want to experience that land that is flowing with milk and honey? And I don't want you to raise your hand on this, but I am going to meddle just a little bit. How do you demonstrate your love towards God, for God? Some questions, some self-examination. Think through this. How do you represent God to the world? How is God evident in your home? How is God evident in your conversations? Just think back over this week. How is God evident in your social media interactions? Just think through that. How is God evident in your activities? If we could show a screen of your mind, would you be embarrassed? Just think through that. How is God evident in the way you hang out with your friends? Not just your church friends. Where is God on your computer? I know I'm meddling a little bit, but I just want you to think through this. Through your actions, through your conversations, through your mind. In this text that Moses showed them, he's saying, bind these scriptures Put them on your forehead, on your doorpost. Teach them to your children. Train up your children. Can I go a little bit deeper? Now that I'm freaking you out some? How often do you spend time reading scriptures with your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren? Is there a personal devotion hour in your home with these little babies? Is it a set time? When was the last time your child saw you praying? Not praying with them, but saw you praying, and they know that mommy and daddy or daddy's prayer time is this, or mommy's prayer time is this. What about worship? Are we participating in worship like Pastor Will said, or are we just observers of worship? Are we connecting with God when we come to this space? You see, that is how these Israelites were when they were getting ready to go into this promised land, this land that was flowing with milk and honey, this land that had been promised so much that they were excited. Moses stands there and he says, there is a responsibility and an expectation of you as Christ followers. Where is God in your life? Does he just show up on Sunday morning? Exhale. Some may say that's in the Old Testament, but I know it's reflected in the Synoptic Gospels because this is the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your spirit, with all your might. This promised land, this promised land is for all of us to experience. And I'm not saying that we have to walk around with scriptures plastered on our head. I'm not saying that we have to get all off into works and praying and fasting for 15 minutes a day. I'm not saying that we have to go and just go humming, 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 humming. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is that there is an expectation that we are called to love God, and we are called to exemplify God, and we are called to more than just the works of mercy, doing and doing and doing and serving on committees and being here and being there, and yet our works of piety, our devotion unto God is going unnoticed. And nobody is judging you. God is loving us. This is a call. This is a challenge. It's a challenge that we can choose to accept or to deny. It's a challenge. Remember, going back to the text, a whole generation didn't make it to the promised land. A whole generation, 40 years, a complete generation did not make it to the promised land. And the new generation got an opportunity to cross over. How do we make it? Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is what God is calling us to, so that we can experience this promised land. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads if you are comfortable with that. I'm also going to ask you, more importantly, to bow your hearts. If any of this resonated with you, and if any of this made you uncomfortable in any way, then great, I did my job. You know why? I have sat with scores and scores of young people who have shared to me, my parents go to church, but I don't know God. In one of my other congregations, there was a 78-year-old man who came up to me and said, I have been serving God in the church. And he listed all of the committees. Said, but I don't feel God in my heart. There was a 28-year-old gentleman who said, if I don't experience God, I'm ready to kill myself. These are real issues, people. So if anything I said to you resonated and you say, I am a Christian, I go to church, but I have yet to enter that promised land. Here's your opportunity to pray. To say, God, search my heart. Search me. Help me. I'm going to make a mistake. We all do. I know there's a way that I can get closer. Help me. My life is so busy. Help me. My kids are all over the place. Help me. I want to live that promised land, live in that promised land of milk and honey. Oh God, search our hearts. Help us. Help us to not be so busy with doing life and missing you. Guide us. Reveal to us even the more just how much you love us, and help us through all that we say and do to communicate to you just how much we love you with complete obedience. This is our prayer. Amen.